and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My name is Gough, and my special guest today is a woman who has done, well, she's done it all, really. She's been a dancer, she's worked on the TV, she's been a journalist. There's not much she hasn't done. It's Nicole Rolls. How are you doing, Nicole?
Hello, I'm well. I even jumped out of a plane last Monday, so that's adding to the list too.
Well, there you go. Did somebody push you? Was it like a jilted lover or anything of that nature?
It was a tandem jump, so I was, it was kind planned? Of pushed. Yeah. It was planned. It was intentional.
Okay. I'm pleased. Otherwise, you know, I'd have to call the authorities of some nature.
Sure, yeah.
So, look, as I said to start, you were a dancer as well. So, obviously, if people jump on, you danced at Moulin Rouge. If people jump on your Instagram, which is a cool Instagram channel.
Thank you. People
jump on there, you've done a whole big Q&A, so I'm not going to ask you all those questions. But I would encourage folks to, if they are interested in what goes on at the old Moulin Rouge, to check that little story section out, because it was quite interesting, actually. I quite liked it. But my question is, because I am getting to a question, my question is that obviously there's a big jump from dancing at the Moulin Rouge to presenting the weather on 9 Gold Coast News. So take us through that transition and what was your thought process?
Yeah, so I was a professional dancer. Right after I finished high school, I did go over to Paris and work at the Moulin Rouge. But my aspiration was always to come back to Australia and go to university because dancing is an amazing career, but it's not a career that has a really particularly long lifespan. You know, you get injured, you get a bit older, you get less fit, those sorts of things. So, I always wanted to come back and study something and build another career. Actually, when I first came back to Australia after my contract at the Moulin, I wanted to study psychology. And I studied psychology for 2 years. And I realized that a lot of the things I liked about psychology, talking to people, hearing their stories, sometimes being able to use that to help them could actually be translated well and mesh well with my previous career on the stage. You know, being on camera, broadcast journalism, there's an element of entertainment to that, but you're still informing people, you're telling stories. So that's how I became a journalist. And I've always been a bit of a weather nerd as well. So I studied a few meteorology subjects by correspondence with Penn State University in America, which has a fantastic meteorology program. And from there, I just worked my way up to doing some weather for 9 Gold Coast News. And I did that for about 5 years.
Cool, man. Cool. So, look, obviously with Beer Nuts Productions, we're in the community sometimes filming in parks and beaches and all sorts of different places. And, you know, you've got the general public to kind of contend with, which sometimes can be bothersome. So I'm just, you know, you spent a couple of years, like you just said, doing weather crosses and whatnot and general crosses in general. Like, take us through some of the people and experiences and awkward people or just general idiots that you'd like to tell us about.
I just want to say this: if you see someone doing a live cross on the television, please do not approach them and shout in their ear. It's terrifying. I actually one time, completely on reflex, dropped an elbow into someone live on air because they came and yelled right in my ear, and it was like this big, imposing, masculine voice, and my first thought was like self-defense. So I dropped an elbow and he like doubled over and kind of ran away. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you don't come into someone's office and scream in their ear when they're working at their desk. So, you know, don't do it to someone who's live on air either.
Would you say the general rule would be if you see a camera, just walk away?
Yeah, just walk away because it's silly too. Like, is anyone really going to be impressed if you go and like make a silly face and wave behind a journalist live on air? I don't get it. I don't get that like trend of going in and doing something silly in front of the camera. I don't understand it at all. Just don't do it.
Do you have any particular, like obviously, when you go, there's a lot of promotion, like, you know, works hand in hand with that kind of stuff. You know, this week we're presenting the weather from such a place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not necessarily advertising in disguise, but it kind of is. But, like, have you had any awkward people who are like, you know, we want our product, wear our T-shirt or anything of that? Or people generally, in your experience at least, were people generally pretty cool?
People were generally pretty cool. I think, you know, in my experience with presenting the weather live on location, it's about promoting a region. Usually when I was doing it on the Gold Coast, we would promote, you know, certain areas of the Gold Coast that there might be like an art installation or something like that. And then subsequently when I moved on to do the 9 local news across Queensland, generally we were working with Tourism Queensland to promote certain areas. So it was never like a real kind of commercial plug. It was more like getting people to come to an area and stimulate the local economy. So no one ever asked me to wear like a slogan t-shirt or anything like that. Thank goodness.
Now, do you reckon, because I have my own opinions on this, obviously, do you think that too much emphasis is placed on appearance when it comes to, especially, male as well, but, you know, TV presenters generally speaking? Do you think that appearance should be maybe more background than foreground, or?
That's a really interesting question. I mean, when you say appearance, I think the focus on appearance should be so far as
physical, I'm talking, yeah.
It's we look professional and we look kind of, there's nothing distracting about our appearance, because really with news, we want the focus to be, or I would want the focus to be on my story, on the content. So, you know, I would, you know, plan an outfit like around wearing block colours and making sure that I don't have anything crazy going on with my hair, because I don't want to distract people from the content of the story. That's actually what's important. I do think it's a shame that there's still a lot of like sexualization around women on the TV. We've had a few instances where we've been notified that there are, you know, kind of vulgar Instagram accounts and vulgar blogs and stuff that are using our images without our consent. And, you know, people are saying lewd things about us as female presenters and reporters. So I think that's a shame. You know, I think what I would like to see is, you know, and this is a bigger societal issue, isn't it, that women are paid more attention to because of what's coming out of our mouths and, you know, the stories that we have to tell and our intellect rather than our appearance. But because TV is a visual medium, you do have to make some consideration about how you look. But I think that's only insofar as you look like a professional, like any other workplace.
What about the executives upstairs? Like, has any of them ever said to you, you know, Nicole, have you ever thought about, you know, dyeing your hair or getting your lips done or anything of that? Obviously I don't need names, but has anything ever been sort of hinted at you or any sort of conversations about your appearance?
No, and I haven't heard of many other people saying that they've had experiences like that in recent times either. You know, the thing is that if you look on TV, you'll see that it is actually a female-dominated career. You know, female journalists are everywhere. So I think within the industry, generally, in my experience, there's you know, sensitivity to that, that we all want to be taken seriously and we all want to look professional and we all want to look our best, but it's not about so much you know, being beautiful. That's not the focus by any means from any higher-ups that I've ever come into contact with.
That's interesting. No, I'm genuinely curious because I, you know, you watch, like generally speaking, the news, and you know, there's not too many, you know, 200-kilo women with mustaches presenting the news. Now, I mean, is it that they're not skillful or qualified to do such things, or is it that the high ups think, oh, we don't want you on our telly because you don't look the part? Or, you know, it's just interesting to me, that's all.
I think historically there might have been a bit more of a focus on, you know, hiring beautiful people, and because of that, maybe, you know, we haven't quite diversified to the point where we could, you know, in the same way that we don't have the ethnic diversity that we could achieve, because you can't be what you can't see. And until people start breaking those barriers, you know, we probably won't see a diverse look across, particularly across commercial TV. But I would say to anyone who's interested in broadcast journalism, don't think that anything about your appearance will inform your ability to get work, because, you know, you've got to, unless you try, you won't be able to get those jobs.
Now, what do you reckon in regards to now? We've seen recently a whole bunch of sackings from different networks, and it appears to me from the outside looking in, the old cold chisel perspective, standing on the outside looking in, it's my favourite joke, that there's more of a nationalisation of news, which I'm not a big fan of, but I was just wondering your general thoughts on the way that there seem to be travelling more of a nationalisation more than a more of a local feel.
Well, I departed from Nine during those cuts as well. That's part of a longer story. But we did downscale our regional news and make it sort of a bit more kind of Queensland-wide streamlined rather than laser-focused on each particular region of Queensland. And, yeah, we're seeing that right across Australia because, you know, advertising revenue obviously runs, you know, informs how TV can operate, and we haven't had advertising revenue because other businesses have been suffering. So, yes, I think that downscaling, you know, it's not ideal. Everyone wants local news, and I think everybody needs local news. I think news should be very tailored to each specific market. However, I also think any news is better than none. And unfortunately, at the moment, in the current economic climate, you know, this is how news has to operate. But that said, I do have a friend who is from, he's from Chinchilla, and I'm going to plug him right now. He's actually just started a really localised news service called The Country Caller.
Is there a website? Do you know a website?
I think it's probably countrycaller.com.au, but I might have got that wrong. So if you Google Country Caller. So what I'm saying is there is room for, and I think there are people out there who are trying to bring back those localised news services, and it's amazing. That's really, really important.
You just got to search for it, I suppose, as a consumer, yeah?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Cool, man. Cool. So if now a lot of people, I want you to respond to this. It's an essay question. Discuss.
Okay.
So,
I'm nervous.
A lot of people have the opinion now that news is no longer news. It's no longer facts. It's sensationalist. It's negative. It's opinion based. Discuss.
Okay. I was actually talking to a friend about this the other day. Because I do think, obviously, commercial news in particular is consumer-driven, and I think one of the biggest drivers of consumption is that you want your worldview reflected back to you. Yeah. And I think that is slightly problematic, depending on the news service, because some news services are more willing to embrace the embrace just reflecting people's views back to them rather than actually digging out the real story and being objective.
But should they be? That's the question, I suppose.
I don't think so. No, because news is not meant to set an agenda. It's not meant to provide an opinion. It's meant to provide information in order for people to make up their own minds. But, you know, there's so many, when you talk about news too, these days it's not just what you're seeing on the TV, it's also what you see on social media, it's what you see on Facebook and Instagram, and often because of the algorithms, your personal views will be reflected back at you. So I would say to anyone, whether you're a news consumer on mainstream mediums like television and radio, or whether you consume your news on social media, it's really important to, I think in this day and age, you really do have to work for objective information. You have to seek it out. And that's a hard thing to do. And, you know, not everyone has time for that. We're all busy at work. We're all, you know, trying to make ends meet in this weird COVID-19 time. But I would encourage everybody to work for their news, to find the objective truth, because that's how we're going to keep society moving in a productive way.
See, I think it's a shame that it's actually come to that. You should, just in my own personal view, I think you should be able to just switch on the telly and you don't have to worry about that. Like in an idealist, I guess, sort of viewpoint, would you be on that side of the fence, or do you think you should have to search out, or?
I don't think you should have to. Ideally, we would all be consuming objective information all of the time, but I think we all know that that is
not going to happen.
Well, you know, as long as we're part of this consumer-driven society, you know, we're always going to have outside influences affecting the information that we receive, whether that's through politics, through political donors, whether that's through certain, you know, media affiliations who maybe don't feel like they are under pressure to keep their entity alive. They can't do negative stories about particular businesses who are their benefactors. You know, we have to be aware of that. And I'm not saying we have to be completely cynical in society, but I think critical thinking is incredibly important. And I don't think it ever hasn't been important. I don't think there's ever been a time when any news in a capitalist society has not been affected by outside factors. So I think it's always important to think critically about any information you're consuming, whether that's from the news, whether that's from a politician. You know, it's important to use your brain and think.
Have you ever felt uncomfortable about, as like the powers that be come to you and say, Nicole, we've got a story on such and such, we want you to cover this for us, and you've thought about it and you go, I don't really feel comfortable, you don't have to mention any names obviously, but I don't really feel comfortable for whatever reason. Has that sort of thing ever taken place?
I think, you know, the important thing about when you sign a contract with a particular workplace is that you know that you are subject to that company's values and that company's beliefs and agendas. And, you know, I think that's the case in any workplace, that you know that the company that you work for might have differing values from you.
Now we've talked about your Instagram earlier. Like I say, I really quite enjoy your channel because it's very upbeat and positive, which But do you, obviously being somebody who's in the public eye, like you said earlier, you know, you like to dress professionally, make sure you have this persona of being a professional young woman. Do you think twice every time you're about to post something? Is like a little, you know, gremlin on the back of your shoulder just talking to you? So, like, do you have to sort of edit yourself a little bit when it comes to your social media content?
You know what? I don't really, because, you know, that's my personal outlet, and you know, hopefully people understand that these are my opinions and, you know, that I'm not, again, providing any objective facts, because that's not what Instagram is for. It's, you know, it's like my diary. But I mean, there are certainly things that I consider when I post, things like I don't post, or I limit the posting of any kind of profanity, and I limit the posting of anything that's particularly, I don't want to say controversial, but like that might
political?
Be triggering. Well, no, I talk about the importance, particularly right now, I've been talking about the importance of participating in the political dialogue. I think that's really important. I think too many people believe that politics doesn't affect them when really it affects all of us. I guess what I mean is I just try not to post anything that might be too triggering to someone, or also that might not be something that I fully understand. If I'm reposting something, I always make sure that I have researched the person I'm reposting from and that their beliefs align with mine and things like that, just so that I'm not inadvertently kind of supporting any agendas that actually I don't feel comfortable with.
No, I understand. So for anybody who's like 16, 17, 18 who might be listening to this and they're thinking of becoming a journalist or a TV presenter, what would be, in your opinion, the best pathway for them to take?
If you want to be a journalist, study journalism, do lots and lots of internships. That's what I did. It means you've got to work for free, which in this day and age and this economy is not what anybody wants to hear. But unfortunately, that is the way this industry works at the moment.
Do you think it should? I mean, that's a really good point.
No.
Like, do you think interns should at least get something?
Yeah, because I used to die a little inside when I was at uni because a lot of my friends were engineers and they would go out and do these like paid internships through the summer and I'd be like working two other jobs and then going and working for free. And, you know, that work was incredibly valuable. But I do think, you know, coming from an entertainment background as well in dancing, you know, there was this big controversy with the AFL Grand Final that people might have heard about where the dancers were expected to dance for free.
Yes.
And everyone else in the show was getting paid, essentially. So there is, I think, this kind of historic devaluing of certain career paths and, you know, this certain idea that you're getting paid in experience. And to a degree, that's true. You know, experience is essential and you should always be, you know, grateful for someone to take the time to guide you towards a better professional life. But I think across the board, there should be, you know, more respect for people's time, especially young people, because, you know, historically, they're the ones working the lowest paid jobs and trying to pay their rent and trying to make ends meet. So to then ask them to work for free in order to attain their dream job, you know, it feels a bit unrealistic.
It's a bit of a kick in the guts, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's such a kick in the guts.
Yeah, no, because obviously, as you say, being in the entertainment industry, I see a lot of actors who, you know, get conned into working for free for different mm-hmm. projects. And it's one of my, I don't like it. It makes me feel uncomfortable because I just don't think that's, like, even if you give them something, man, you know, I don't like. But going back to my original question, so pathways, so it's universities and internships, that would be your number one advice?
Yeah, lots and lots of internships. And then also just keep at people. Once you've done an internship, once you've met people and, you know, acquired their email addresses, within reason, make sure you keep contacting them.
No camping in flower beds?
Yeah, no like weird stalking, but like just enough stalking to remind them that you're there, that you're present, that you're willing to go the extra mile. You know, when you're at your internship, ask questions, pitch stories, be ready to step up to the plate, ask, is there anything that I can do for you? You know, come in as if you're, you know, you're there working for free, but come in as if it's your job, because that's how you impress them, by being willing. I've worked with a lot of interns who, probably because they're a little bit shy, just kind of fade into the background because they're not sort of in your face.
Now, a two-part question to finish. Firstly, what are you currently doing and where can people find you?
Okay, so I departed from Channel 9 a few months ago, and since then I have been working on my freelance business. So I'm still doing a bit of reporting, and unfortunately I can't talk yet about that, but I eventually will be able to. And then I'm also doing some PR and publicity. I've worked with some wonderful clients doing that, like Roman Wildlife Sanctuary. I've also been doing some production. So I've been producing some videos for the NRL, which has been wonderful. And doing some content creation, website design. When I decided to go freelance, it was because I saw so much room for diversity across the media landscape. And I wanted to be a part of that. So yes, now I'm working across diverse channels. You can find me at my Instagram, which is at nicole.rolls, R-O-W-L-E-S. And you can also find me at my website, nicolerolls.com.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, that's thank you so much for coming in, Nicole. I really do appreciate your time today.
My pleasure.
And, of course, beernutsproductions.com for all your entertainment needs. And, you know, like, subscribe, follow, leave a nice comment on whatever podcast provider you're listening to this on. And we will see you next week. Thank you so much.